Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
Good to see you in studio once again. Hey, kind of retreading some familiar ground this week, but you kind of reframed it. You're calling it Use Your Voice this week. So the first time you've used that term.
Yeah.
But it all means the same thing, that you want people to do estate planning while
yes,
they can.
Absolutely. And Use Your Voice, I was thinking about this radio show, and it really is an apropos statement, which is, if you don't use your voice, then systems take over, family members take over, and really you've lost the ability to control what has been given to us, which is the ability to speak into two different circumstances. Because remember, estate planning is always about two different primary objectives. Number one, estate planning is about you. And for some listeners who may be new to the show, this may be a new revelation, which is estate planning isn't just about dying. Actually, the first part about estate planning, and maybe the more critical part about estate planning, is utilizing your voice to make decisions during your lifetime should you not be able to speak into that circumstance anymore. Hmm. Now, I call that disability versus incapacitation, because incapacitation has a certain connotation that means I can't think right. Well, that could be why you are disabled, but that is not the only time that you may be disabled. I've had clients who have been very ill and can no longer hold a pen, write their name, sign their name. So how do they write checks? How do they get into their computer and manage their bank accounts? How do they pick up a phone and call people? And when they are very ill, those things might be taken away from them. Or you're in such pain that you're using medications that make you think differently than how you would normally. And so you may need somebody to step in and take care of you because you're not exactly thinking in the way that you've always been in the past. So the first critical component about estate planning is that estate planning needs to safeguard you. I've been through a shopping line, and I was talking to a gentleman in front of me, right? Because we say hi to each other. He turned around and he asked me, well, what do you do? A very common nonchalant question. And I said, I do estate planning. He goes, oh, well, if I had an estate, I'd use you. And right, my response was, but you do have an estate. You, as an individual, are your greatest asset. Not your bank account, not your investment, not your 401k. It doesn't matter how much your house is appreciated. All of that is great. But if we can't take care of you as an individual first, then estate planning has failed. And so estate planning must always take care of you first. And we need to use your voice before you lose the ability to speak into that. Then we can concentrate on step number two, which is kind of the intuitive part of estate planning, which is I died. And so now, what happens when I die? Now, our show today is going to concentrate more about that second component, but I don't want the first part to be lost in our conversation. Good estate planning talks about and addresses the issue of taking care of you first. That is always the primary. And I want to use Esther as an example real quick as we get into this.
Okay.
There is a very, very common, well, there's a couple of very common scriptures that come out of Esther, right? And, if I said them, you would know, oh yeah, that's Esther. Or maybe you know your Bible and Old Testament well enough to know that that's what it is. So I'm going to use, a scripture from Esther. And I know that this scripture is not perfectly aligned with estate planning, but I want you to hear the heartbeat of God, because when we hear the heartbeat of God, then we can apply it to multiple areas of our life. It doesn't have to be just limited in one section. And so in Esther, the New King James Version says, "For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise from the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish." And I looked at this scripture and I go, you know what? That has such a ringing bell tone of estate planning for me, because as an estate planner, I look at scripture a little bit differently, right? but think about this scripture. If you don't use your voice, you and your father's house will perish. Well, perish how? Meaning it will not go well for you. Meaning the vision and the purpose by which you were created to build God's kingdom and to rescue people from the gates of hell and bring them into salvation will not be sought through and looked through your life. So what if we wasted our money? What if we didn't use our voice to care for ourselves? What if we did not use our voice to actually put the vision of God forward, so that when it's our turn to hand off everything to the next generation, that they can see the vision and run with it? What if we remained silent with this issue? Then everything is just put forward with no vision, with no purpose. And of course, you've been around me long enough, Mark, and some of the listeners may have, but if you haven't, my entire desire is that people seek after the heartbeat of God, seek Him for what do you want me to do, Heavenly Father, with my estate plan, because it is an opportunity to pass wealth off to the next generation with purpose, with vision, and with calling, so that the kingdom of God can expand. Instead of just the world's way, which is, I'm just going to give it to my kids. And that's not today's discussion, but that is my heartbeat. My heartbeat, my passion is seek after your Father, because He will tell you what His desire is for your estate. And much like Esther, if you remain silent, then you and your household will perish. And actually, the scripture is even more heartbreaking, which is deliverance will still come. I will still fulfill my plan, but I will use someone else. You know, when I stand before my Heavenly Father at the end of my days, I don't want to look at Him and say, well, Paul, I had to use somebody else most of the time because you weren't listening to me. Ah. I don't know if anything would pain me more than stand before my Heavenly Father and have Him say, well done, good and faithful servant, but, but I had to use someone else instead of for the purpose and the calling that I needed you at different places. So being aligned with our Heavenly Father, listening to His voice, including, Heavenly Father, what am I supposed to do with the last act of stewardship that I have? Yes, He may say, give it to your kids. Great, let's do that. He may also say, give some to charity. Perfect. He may say, give some to missions or to your church. Fantastic. But the question is, what is He saying? And so my encouragement for listeners, seek after the heartbeat of God. He will tell you. And then, like Esther, use your voice, because then it will go well for you and your family, is the reverse of that.
Yeah, I think the idea of using your voice. Tell me a little bit, too, about some of those statistics you've shared before, how people don't use their voice and don't have a plan. Like, statistically, in a population, if you've said it's like less than half or even less than that.
Right. And so if you reach the age of 65, so I forget the stats, sorry, underneath the age. But now think about that. If you reach the age of 65, less than half of the population has done some type of estate planning.
Anything.
And so, and why 65? Because that's when you retire. That's when you typically have the most wealth that you're going to accumulate. And you look around and your kids are grown and you start thinking about, okay, I may start facing the end of my days. Now, I hope you live a much longer life and a fruitful life and on purpose life. However, with retirement at approximately that age, people begin to shift. And I see that in my practice, which is this, that it really is the most common age still that people walk into my office.
At 65.
Yep, really. It is.
They've done no planning up till then.
Many have not. Which could be just as bad, not quite as bad, but it could be just as bad, which is you haven't looked at it since you had kids. Okay. So it's 30 plus years old. Now, Would that document still be upheld in court? Yes, it would be. But sometimes not all the kids are even listed, but there's clauses in law that say, but we're going to treat everybody the same. And so so we need to use our voice because most people don't. I wish I had that stat concerning the body of Christ. I would hope that it is higher, but I have a sinking feeling that it's not. And that's why I have this radio show, is to encourage the body of Christ, listen to the heartbeat of the Father, and let's make a plan, because it is critical to do so.
What do you think are the main reasons, or the main reason why people don't do estate planning? Is it that first thing you started the show with, that they, I wish I had an estate and then I'd do some planning?
Yeah, the amount of money is certainly a high, about 40% of people say, I don't have enough to warrant planning. Or that money is going towards other things. So look, to do estate planning is going to be a couple thousand dollars at a minimum, and it can go up higher than that. But so how many of us want, number one, how much of us really like to spend a couple thousand dollars on this topic? Not many of us. And we get that. I understand that. Bills, money being prioritized elsewhere. And then, my experience, even just walking through this journey of life, is that, well, when I'm in my 30s, even with young kids, and I don't think I'm going to die, right? I mean, it would be unique if I died, actually. But yet, I've unfortunately cleaned up estates of younger individuals, whether death by accident or whether by illness or disease. And so, is it possible? Yes. Statistically, is it going to happen? Not as much. But so I think that there's an attitude of, but I'm not going to die. Procrastination is also ranked reasonably high, which is, I know I should get to this, but I don't. And then about 10% of the population just simply doesn't want to talk about this issue. And so we just don't like to talk about our mortality. Even as believers, there are people who hang on to this shell with everything that they've got instead of looking towards the hope and the glory of where we are going. And so, therefore, when we hold tightly to this earth realm, then we're not going to want to talk about this issue and about this topic and make sure that we're safe. So, and there's multiple other reasons. But interestingly, and then I know we're up against a break. Interestingly, that statistic that I just mentioned, which is, I don't like to talk about this topic, it's actually 8% of the population stated, and this is from late 80s study that came out of a life insurance company. And they said 8% don't want to talk about this issue of mortality. But if you have $10 million or more, that jumps up to 12.
Okay.
So when you have more money, when you have more earthly belongings, this issue of, I don't know how to let go of this earth system, creeps in and chokes you more. And so we need to be careful of where our vision is when we start doing estate planning. And so we need to take a step. We just got to get out of the gate and take those first couple of steps with estate planning. And that's my call to action.
Okay, use your voice this week. The topic on the Legacy and Faith Show. People are intrigued. How do they find out more about your services, Paul?
Well, head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts. There's upcoming educational opportunities and ways to communicate with us. So head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memoriesworthtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memoriesworthtelling.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Paul is reminding us so important to use our voice in estate planning. And Paul, what happens if somebody doesn't use their voice? What happens then?
Why even do this drill, right? Because doesn't everything just go to my spouse or just go to my kids? And why do I need to do this? Well, there's a couple reasons. So again, I'm going to break this into two different sections. So I guess I am going to talk about stage number one, which is during our lifetime a little bit, because this is really where it gets costly. So if you don't like spending money on an attorney, here is a fantastic reason to do it.
Okay.
Which is, if you became disabled, remember, that means I need assistance for one reason or another. Could be physical, it could be mental. I need assistance. And you have nothing in place. Okay, so now let's assume that for one reason or another, whether you're married or unmarried, that no one else is on your account. No one else has access to your 401k. No one else has access to be able to sell your home. Then how do we access all of your financial assets to ensure that your bills can be paid, that money can be drawn out of your 401k? See, even if you're married, that's not a joint asset. And sometimes for people, that is their biggest asset. So how does your spouse call your financial advisor or whoever is in charge of your 401k or your IRA or any other tax-deferred system and say, sell blank many dollars and transfer it to the checking account because we need that money? So even if you're married, why would you need a financial power of attorney? Well, because who's going to be able to access an account that is solely in your name if you cannot do it yourself? And so how about the checking account? Well, if you're married, then I'm assuming that you're holding it jointly, unless you've done some estate planning in the past and you're using a revocable living trust, which is, I applaud you. So that's fantastic. But in the normal scheme of things, if you're married, your spouse is there. If you're single, then no one else should really be on your bank account. And then who is going to manage that and pay your bills and have access? Who's going to have access to your, like I said, your IRAs, your investments? Who, if necessary, is going to have the power to sell your home if indeed you need to be cared for elsewhere? And we already know as a family, you're not going to return to the home, but we need to elicit the funds and sell the family home in order to take care of you. Who has the power to sign your name in those circumstances? So why is it better to spend a little bit of money now? Because that process of empowering somebody is 10 times as expensive sometimes as getting and going through a court system to empower somebody with the proper authority to sign for you as it is doing estate planning and doing it well out of the gate. So we need to make sure that in step number one, you're well taken care of, because it is far more costly than doing nothing. As a matter of fact, when I was first out of law school, one of my first cases was a son was living with his mom. So he was in the basement and he was taking care of mom. Mom was ill and she lost the ability to sign her name. And he was unable to write the checks anymore. So he would write the checks. Mom would approve them and sign it. She can't sign. So he comes to me, and this poor woman, by the time we were done, four attorneys and well over $15,000, and ultimately the state of Michigan said, we're just going to take care of it. We're not going to appoint any of you yahoos who are out here trying to help your mom because there's no family agreement. And of course, I know. Everyone who's listening has perfect families, and no one would come out of the woodwork like that particular case. I know. All perfect children. I get it. My kids, they're always fantastic with each other until mom or dad is in a critical circumstance and you have different opinions. And then all of a sudden, all the sibling rivalries come out that haven't been seen for years. I've seen it. I've watched it. And yet those clients sat before me and said, oh, my kids love each other, Paul. Okay, great. I don't want to test that theory. So we have to do good estate planning. Good estate planning then tells us who we're going to trust, who is the decision maker, and who has that legal authority to assist you. And at death, if we don't have the proper thing, then the state of Washington does have a plan for you. Now, it is not that that the state of Washington is going to simply take everything. That is not true. Only Washington State is the final beneficiary only if you have absolutely no family. We can't find you have no children. We can't find any parents alive. We can't find siblings alive. I mean, we will do a search in order to find any type of blood relative before we hand things over. But there are some people who have absolutely no one in life. And yes, if they don't do estate planning, it is a possibility, but it rarely happens. So no, Washington State doesn't get everything, but you lose your voice. So what if you have a beneficiary designation that is not exactly how you want it to be on a bank account or so a transfer on death? What if you bring on one of your kids to a checking account? Remember, I already told you not to do that because I said don't have anyone else if you're single on your checking account. So let me be more plain. Don't put your kids on a checking account. Do estate planning. And because there are unwary traps with bringing on
and
children.
Quickly, what are some reasons for that?
So number one is that if they ever had a creditor issue, if they were in a car accident, if anything wrong happened in their life, that those accounts that they are on may possibly be subject to their mistakes in life. Not that they're being bad kids and stealing from you. Yes, that can happen too. Okay. So again, if you have those wonderful kids who will take
just by having their name on their checking account.
Sure. Absolutely. Oh. Specifically depends on how they are put on your checking account as an authorized user only or as a legal owner. Banks will mistakenly put them on as owners and then they have access. Okay. So yes, it can produce a backdoor for creditors. And I'm not saying that that's intentional. That could be a very bad car accident and all of a sudden your money. As a matter of fact, I've seen it happen. I don't make this stuff up. That is a case that I saw happen in front of my very own eyes. Another thing, when you die, then the legal owner becomes that child, not every child equally. So if you have an excess of cash in a checking account or savings account because you need cash, not a bad thing, but if a child is on that account, they become the legal owner on the day of your death. And number one, now we're just going to trust morality that child is going to give it because they don't have to. Number two, if they do, they may be required to file a gift tax return. Why? Because it became their legal money and now they're giving it, their money, to their siblings, even if they are going to act right. So there's multiple consequences down the road for not doing proper estate planning. And so we can resolve all these things. Don't do what your next door neighbor does. Their family is not the same. Let's do proper estate planning. It's not that costly, and yet it will save you and your family from very expensive court procedures that can possibly happen. Now, do they always happen? No, of course. Some people who never do estate planning, everything works exactly like they would have thought that it should have worked, and their spouse gets everything, then their spouse dies, and now their kids get everything equally, then they all spend it. So it could work flawlessly, but why take the risk? Why hope instead of no? And that's really one of the things that drives me is that I want to know that what God has told me to do is exactly what is going to happen. I don't want to guess or rely upon the natural law or just hope that the kids are going to respond accurately. That's fine. I'm not saying that you don't have trustworthy kids, but I just want to set them up for success. And if we give our voice, does it not give them better direction so that it can keep peace in the family instead of making one of them or multiple of them guess which way it should go? Good estate planning gives clear direction, and clear direction keeps everybody safe. So I don't want to use the IKEA directions, the little stick figures. Right. You know, use board number 3 and connect it to board number 7, and you can't tell the difference. That, unfortunately, is not where we want to be. So basic templated wills may not work. That's an IKEA instruction. But good estate planning will keep people safe because we use our voice, we can be specific, and we can clearly give our family direction based upon the heartbeat of God that He has told us so that we can continue to build the kingdom of God.
So important to use your voice, use it or lose it, as they say. And if you've been listening to Paul today, you want to find out more about his services. Estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant is there at your service. And how do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, upcoming workshops. Those are very important. So head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Always great stuff. Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.